From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome once again as we start another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. It's our privilege to come to you at this time each day with the Word of God and to let the Bible speak clearly on the great truths of the Gospel. Today we're turning to Colossians chapter 1, we're returning to verse 24 and following, and we're looking continually through this week at the subject of the Gospel ministry. We'll be thinking particularly of how Paul describes the heart and the work of a Christian minister. First, however, we'll have our daily devotional Bible study for today, and it's on the subject of everlasting love, and it's taken from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16. Recently in our town, some people discovered a newly born baby, stuffed into a bag and left in a doorway to die. Though maternal love is proverbially strong, mothers can and do forget their sucking children. And if mother love can break down, any human bond can snap, given enough pressure. The conditions, really the sins, I suppose, of modern society are applying that pressure to more and more people. Homes and marriages are breaking up at an alarming rate. Where once people professed love and devotion, they now express loathing and rejection. Sometimes when we suffer such human rejection, and even when we don't, we're tempted to feel that the Lord also has rejected us. That's a horrible feeling. The Lord calls us to rejoice in His mercy. But we are so depressed so often that we lament, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Nothing could be further from the truth. Because as Isaiah 49:16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." He has graven us on the palms of His hands. That is, first of all, a description of perpetual remembrance. It's the action of one whose love cannot bear that we should be out of his mind for a second. As the psalmist said, "The Lord thinketh upon me." And as Jeremiah tells us, "His thoughts are thoughts of peace." Keep that in mind today. Christian, the Lord has not forgotten you. He cannot forget you. He has graven you on the palms of His hands. That action not only denotes perpetual remembrance, but also our indissoluble union with Him. Soldiers, slaves, and lovers etched the names of their commander or master or loved one into their hands. And that's the reference. The Lord does the same. He is not our slave, but He is the lover of our souls. Nothing can separate us from His powerful love. So, believer, let this text, "Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hand," let this text cheer your heart today. Whatever burden you may have to carry, however forsaken by man you may feel, remember you are etched into the hands and the heart of God. His power and His love are set for your security. And our thought for the day is from Thomas Watson, "God never repents of His electing love."
Thank you.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. It's time to return to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 and the following verses, to think some more of Paul's teaching on the subject of ministering the gospel of Christ. Today we'll introduce the practice of the ministry with a reference to one of the most alarming features of the modern church. So let's now turn to Colossians 1, 24. Now we turn again this morning to Colossians chapter 1, and we will commence reading at verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul has finished the 23rd verse saying, I am made a minister. And now he adds, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister,
according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. We'll finish the reading at the end of verse 27. Trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. I have to return to the passage we were looking at and the subject we were looking at last Lord's Day, the subject of the gospel ministry. Paul is speaking about ministering the glorious gospel of Christ. I think that one of the most alarming features of the modern church, especially here in America, not uniquely here in America, but certainly especially here, is the open devaluation and at times perversion of the Christian ministry, both in the pulpit and in the pew. There is a tendency to despise the gospel ministry, and that's only a step away from despising the gospel that is ministered. I have to say that ministers are chiefly to blame. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent so early in the message this morning, but I think I do have cause to emphasize this. I am a Presbyterian by conviction, and I believe that the voice of the church, properly expressed, is a very important aspect of any man's call to the ministry. I believe, and I certainly sought to practice it when I felt that the Lord was leading me into the ministry. I believe that the very first voice that should be heard is the voice of the church to which the candidate for the ministry belongs, in which he has served as a member of the general body of Christ in that place. If the church to which I belonged, in which I lived and served for years, had no conviction either as to gift or calling in my life, it would have been highly presumptuous of me simply to go forward. There has to be also the voice of the church doing the calling. I have a very high regard, therefore, for the voice of God's church in its witness to the call of any man to the gospel ministry. I say that as a Presbyterian. However, I would have to say that were I an independent, such as a Congregationalist or a Baptist, I would hold very much the same view. I don't think that the church polity makes all that much difference in this particular instance. But what we are living to see today is the ascension to the pulpit of inferior men. Inferior men in the sense that we have a race very largely of self-appointed men. Self-appointed men, by that I mean, and you see this all around us, men who have no call from anybody to pastor a church. They have no commission from any church, be it Presbyterian or independent, to go forth and establish a church. And yet by mere self-appointment, forth they go. and self-appointed men very easily become self-promoting men and self-serving men. When that happens in the pulpit, you will find that there is, in the truest sense of the word, a spiritless ministry. You have a ministry that is more self than of the Spirit of God. And there is a devaluation, a perversion of the holiness, the sanctity, the divine appointment of the Christian ministry. As I say, ministers are largely to blame. Going along with this spirit, even among those who have been regularly called and appointed, there is often a very serious lack where men do not hold the pulpit that they occupy in any sense of awe. Men forget the old way of speaking. I know that this is how I grew up listening to the pulpit described as the sacred desk. Sacred because on it sits the Word of God. From it is proclaimed the Word of God. The sacred desk. And yet so many men stand behind it without any evident sense of awe or even of reverence. When you get a preacher whose chief claim to fame is that he can crack more one-line jokes in a 30-minute message than any other known preacher, then you have something seriously wrong. The Apostle Paul, as we'll see, had a very different view. But without this divine appointment, without the consequent ministry of the Spirit, without this sense of overwhelming awe, is it any wonder that the people generally come to despise both the sanctity and the authority of the Christian pulpit? As I say, how different was Paul's view? The great apostle to the Gentiles served with a woe upon his soul. When he came to preach, he said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I was thinking just yesterday, the day before, of the words of Naomi to Ruth after they had returned to the land of Israel. And Naomi looked at Ruth and she thought of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer in her family. She thought of bringing them together and she looked at Ruth and she said, "Shall I not seek your good?" What a question. A question, by the way, that every Christian parent should be asking. It should become the paramount question of your life. But it's the question also that every Christian minister should be asking. Shall I not labor for your good? Shall I not ever seek to introduce you to the greater than Boaz, to the great kinsman redeemer? That must be the burden of every Christian parent, and it must be the burden of every Christian pulpit. Certainly was Paul's burden. Woe is unto me if I fail to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To Paul, that meant this is not a career choice. This is not simply a chosen way to make a living. For many years it didn't make a living for Paul. He made his own living. In many ways, this was his way of dying. As he looked at the burden upon him, the need of the people, the state of society, the urgency of the need that confronted him, he felt, and here is the most gifted man, I believe, in the New Testament church, the most spiritually talented man, the man who was most greatly blessed and used of God, even over and above men like Peter and James and John. And he says, who is sufficient for these things? But with that woe in the heart of Paul, and to some extent in the heart of every minister who's called of God, and to every Christian who serves in the body of Christ, there comes also an undying commitment. We're insufficient, says Paul, but our sufficiency is of Christ. We are incapable, but we have a capability in Christ. We're impotent, but we have power in Christ. We're failures, but we have success in Christ. So to Paul, the Christian ministry and Christian service generally was a sacred charge. And thus here in Colossians chapter 1, as he comes to speak of the Christian ministry, he does so in terms of the deepest reverence.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.